Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Dan Roth.
Amen. Today, get your Bibles out. Go with me to Luke, the first chapter, Gospel of Luke, the first chapter. We're going to be continuing to take a sidestep from Hebrews as we go through this Christmas season. First part of January, we will get back into Hebrews, the 11th chapter, the first verse. But we wanted to take a moment because we only get this opportunity once a year to take some time and set aside some time and give the importance and the value that Christmas deserves. And so today I want to talk to you about a subject called the Christ in Christmas. The Christ in Christmas. We'll find out what that means as we go. And I want to show you a video. If you were here last weekend or if you were here on Wednesday night, you saw there's a series of videos that we've been showing. And it's a monologue. It's somebody talking, and they're giving a perspective from a biblical character's viewpoint. Now, it's not exactly spelled out like it is in the Word. This is what helps us to understand maybe how they were feeling or what they were thinking at that time. And so they're dressed in modern-day clothes, and they're just talking about the story that we're going to examine today. So I want you to watch the overheads for Mary's story.
As long as I can remember, we'd been waiting for the Messiah to come for us. My family, our tribe, our whole nation. I always knew that he'd come, but... well, let's be honest. It's not like I'm from Jerusalem or someplace special. I'm just a girl. From Nazareth. And everybody knows that not much good comes from Nazareth. Never has. I thought for sure that angel had come to the wrong house with his announcement. But if that's what God wanted, well, who was I to tell him he was wrong? And Joseph, well, God bless that wonderful man. He could have joined in with everybody else. He could have had me sent away. He could have even had me killed. But he just never broke the promise to marry me. And so when he had to go to Bethlehem for the census, I was honored to ride by his side. Even with heartburn and bloated cankles and 9 months of pregnancy behind me. You know those women who try different things to induce labor, like going on frequent walks or eating spicy foods? What they should do is go on a bumpy 70-mile trip to Bethlehem. Because not long after I got there, and I'd never done this myself, but even I knew it was time. And with every wave of pain, I tried to ignore the fact that my family wouldn't be there to help me. And that I'd be bringing this baby into the world without the familiarity of home. But when Jesus finally came, I forgot all of that, though. I just wrapped him in cloths and tried to make the most comfortable bed I could for him with the only thing I had, which was an animal's feeding trough. Joseph said I should have been sleeping then, but I couldn't stop staring at him. There he was. The one the angel had told me about. My heart was so full, I couldn't even find words big enough to express it. I know I'm not the first young mother to bring a child into this world. It's always been that way. But as I look down at my son, my Redeemer, I knew that he would change everything because he'd already changed me.
Hallelujah. Luke chapter 1. Starting in verse number 26, let's take a look at the biblical account. It says, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Verse 28, and having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Verse 29, but when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Verse 31, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Verse number 34, then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? The angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Verse 36, now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who is called barren. Verse 37, for with God nothing will be impossible. Verse number 38, then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Now, you may have heard this story several times before on examine this. In fact, during this Christmas season, oftentimes we see nativities, people's yards, maybe you have one in your home. Even now you're starting to see the magnets on the back of cars having the nativity. And today I want to talk to you about putting Christ in Christmas. In other words, Christmas is a time that we set aside each year to celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. The world is trying desperately to rob us of that, trying to take Christ out of Christmas. They're trying to set things up that they're saying are equally as important, the gifts and the Santas and the decorations and the parties and everything else, all of the side things, all of the things that we may enjoy, but all the things which can distract us and take us away from what really matters. Now, we know that December 25th most likely is not the date that Jesus was born. It's not impossible, but at the same time, most likely he was born in the spring or some other time. But this is the time that we set aside, that the church takes to focus, to put everything aside, and to look at the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because if we don't do it, it's not going to happen otherwise. It'll get forgotten. We'll get too busy through the hustle and bustle of life. And we will not remember, we will not take the time to put Christ in our lives, to put Christ in Christmas. When I look at this story, I see some amazing things. Things that change our lives. Who is this Christ child? Who was this one that we see? This amazing person. This amazing baby that changed all of time and eternity. Well, today I want to give you some ABCs. You know, when you start with the basics, you got to learn the ABCs. We teach our children that way and we understand things that way. So today, a couple of things. Who is this Christ that we see in Christmas? Well, first of all, we know that he was announced by angels. There was an angelic presence that came and that was on the scene. Now, you may say, well, that's not unusual, Pastor, because, you know, Samson, his birth was announced by an angel. Yes, one angel. And yes, it was a supernatural thing. And yes, God had a plan at that time. But this was unusual. See, it wasn't just one angel that appeared to Mary. No, that same angel appeared to her cousin Zacharias and announced to him that John the Baptist was going to come and would prepare the way of the Lord. There was an angel that visited Joseph in a dream and told him what he should do, told him not to be afraid to take Mary as his wife, told him what to name the child. And therefore, when he came together with his wife, they had an agreement about what they were going to name him. There was an angel that appeared to the shepherds and told them of what had happened, that the Christ had come onto the earth. And then a heavenly host of angels, not just one, but thousands probably of angels, thousands upon thousands, filling the sky, lighting up the countryside, now proclaiming in a loud voice, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth and goodwill towards man. See, the angels were now proclaiming, and this was an amazing thing because now they were announcing something great. Not only was he announced by angels, let her be, he was born of a virgin. Now, this is significant because this is a miraculous thing that had taken place. Think about it for a moment. God had made a man without a woman, right? He sat down and he created man out of the dust, breathed the breath of life into him. He had created a woman out of a man, right? He'd taken Eve from man's side. He had created men and women from men and women, right? Through the natural birth process. But also, he had created a baby through people who were past their age, Abraham and Sarah, now Zacharias and Elizabeth. But never before had God created a man from a woman. And this was a supernatural thing that had taken place. It was prophesied that he would be born of a virgin. Isaiah, if you want, you can hold your place in the book of Luke and turn there with me if you like. But Isaiah chapter 7, verse number 14. Isaiah chapter 7, verse number 14 says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, look and see. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel," meaning God with us. This is God in the flesh. That's what the incarnation means. It means that God is now coming into human flesh. And so if God is coming into the flesh, it would not be a natural birth, because our God is a supernatural God. And therefore his birth would have to be a supernatural birth. In fact, if there was no virgin birth, then there is no Christian faith and there is no salvation, because without it, there's no miracles. It's just two people getting together, a man and a woman getting together and creating a baby through the natural process. Then Jesus was a natural man. There was nothing supernatural about him. And therefore, when he would have went to the cross, there would have been no perfect, spotless, sinless lamb on that cross, and it would rob us of our salvation. See, there has to be a virgin birth in order for us to be saved, because Jesus was supernatural. Jesus was God in the flesh, and therefore he came through a miraculous birth, and that qualified him now to live the perfect, spotless, sinless life for us, so that when he went to the cross, he qualified to take away the sin of the world. We ought to give God a praise for that. Come on, somebody. You guys here today. Who is this Christ in Christmas? He was announced by angels. He was born of a virgin. In fact, if you look at the prophecies about Jesus, it's amazing how many things took place and what happened that God would move a man, to move a nation, to move a couple, to get them to Bethlehem. There was a star, supernatural things taking place all around. There was miracles, signs, and wonders happening everywhere. Angelic visits and different dreams going on and different signs that were taking place. It was all around. In his book, Science Speaks, Peter Stoner applies the modern science of probability to just only eight prophecies regarding Christ. He says the chance that any man might have fulfilled all eight prophecies is 1 in 10 to the 17th power. That number, 10 to the 17th, would be 1 in 100 quadrillion. You say quad what? Quadrillion. That you know million, right? Billion. Trillion, the national debt, okay? And then we've got, after that, quadrillion. Yeah, bigger, okay? That is the probability that just eight of the prophecies concerning Jesus Christ, which there were many more, but only eight of them could come to pass in one man. Think about it this way. If we take 10 to the 17th number of silver dollars, okay, coins, and you lay them on the face of Texas, okay, 10 to the 17th power, silver dollars, lay them on the face of Texas, it would cover Texas in 2 feet of silver dollars. Now, let's say you took a felt tip marker and you marked one of those silver dollars, right? You colored all over the face of that. And then you flew over Texas and you just dropped it in at random. And then you mixed up all the silver dollars all over Texas, right? And spread them all out 2 feet deep again. Now, you take a man and you blindfold that man and you send him into the middle of Texas and you say, just walk as far as you want to walk. Stop whenever you want to stop, bend down blindfolded, and pick up a silver dollar. The probability that he would pick up that marked silver dollar is the same probability that Jesus would have fulfilled just eight of the prophecies of his birth. And that's only if the men that wrote those prophecies wrote them in their own power. See, this is a supernatural gospel. It's a supernatural God. This is a supernatural experience. This is a supernatural birth. Hallelujah. So he was announced by angels. He was born of a virgin. And lastly, Christ will save. Letter C, Christ will save. Remember the name that was given to him. He said, "You shall call his name Jesus," meaning Jehovah is salvation. It's the same word that you have in the Old Testament of Joshua or Yeshua, meaning the Lord God Almighty. Jehovah is salvation. This is God's Son. This is the Word became flesh. J. Oswald Sanders, in his book, The Incomparable Christ, writes, "His birth in Bethlehem was not his origin, only his incarnation. Jesus was the meeting place of eternity and time, the blending of deity and humanity, the junction of heaven and earth. That's why he's called Emmanuel, God with us. See, because only God can save. Man cannot reach God by his own efforts. No, God had to reach down into time and space. He had to come, born of a virgin, miraculously, and now he had to be God incarnate, God in the flesh, so that he could save us from our sins as Jesus went to the cross and died for us. Are you listening today? So I want to build on these ABCs because, see, once you get the ABCs, see, we know this stuff, right? We know he was announced by angels. We've heard that before. We know that he was born of a virgin. We understand that. We know that Christ will save. We know that he came to seek and save the lost. But today I want to build on these principles to find out how we can put Christ in Christmas. See, God already put him there, and now the world's trying to rob it from us, and we're getting distracted from it. Therefore, we have to make an effort. We got to do something to put Christ in Christmas this season as we go throughout these next days and weeks, even throughout our year, how we can put Christ in Christmas. First one is this, letter D. Remember, you got the ABCs, now we're going to get D, E, F, okay? Number one is this, how we can put Christ in Christmas. Number one is declare his name. See, the angels announced him, but now we get to declare him. Get to speak his name. Each and every day, the first name on your lips should be Jesus. Every time you go out, when people ask you about the hope that you have, it's Jesus. When somebody is going through a hard time, you have the answer. His name is Jesus. And when people are looking, and you know, this is a season where we have an opportunity to speak the name of Jesus. Somebody says, Happy Holidays, you say, Merry Christmas, right? Maybe some of my Latino brothers and sisters, you know, you want Christ Mass in your season, you more in your holiday. Oh, I'm sorry, it's cheesy. I'll just put that one away for next service, but praise God. But see, we need to put Christ in Christmas. We need to declare his name. We need to speak his name. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it's the power of God unto salvation for those who believe. And listen, angels have not been given the right and the privilege to preach the gospel. We've been given that right and privilege. An angel is not going to come and preach the gospel to the nations. No, we've got to do that. Mark chapter 16, verse 15, and he said to them, go. Everybody say, go. Go into all the world and do what? Preach. What are we to preach? Preach the gospel to every creature. What is the gospel? The gospel is the good news that Jesus Christ was announced by angels. He was born of a virgin, and now Christ will save. See, you have the salvation message. You know it. Now you got to declare it. You got to speak the name of Jesus. You listening today? Come on, this is exciting stuff. This is good. How we can put Christ in Christmas. Number one is declare his name. Number two is this. Expect the supernatural. If Jesus came and his birth was a supernatural birth, then when you put Christ in Christmas, when you start to declare his name, nothing else can happen but the supernatural. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Therefore, if his birth was supernatural, if the declaration of him was supernatural, if the events surrounding him was supernatural, then when you start to put Christ in Christmas, the supernatural is going to take place in your life. See, maybe you've been believing God for some. Maybe during this season, there's that cloud that comes over you. You know, the days are shorter. It gets darker earlier. It's cold. You know, you're lonely. There's not people around you. And you're starting to suffer depression in this season. Many people do. But listen, you never have to be alone. All you have to do to get God on the scene is start to declare his name. And the supernatural presence of God will be on the scene. God is with you wherever you go. My goodness, you never have to be alone. Not to mention that you have a family here that loves you and wants to be with you. See, if you've been suffering sickness or some sort of pain and it's been going on and on, start to declare the name of Jesus, and God will confirm his word with miracles, signs, wonders, and gifts of the Holy Ghost. You can start to expect supernatural healings and restoration to take place in your body. If you need to be delivered this season, it's time to declare the name of Jesus and watch the supernatural deliverance of God come into your life. God's going to work it out as you work with him. Maybe you're struggling financially and you're saying, I don't know how I'm going to make it. You know, there's the gifts, there's the parties, there's the presents, there's the dinners, there's the meals, there's all this stuff we got to do. You got to put gas in the car to travel, all this stuff. Listen, start to declare the name of Jesus and the supernatural provision of God will come to pass. Like we learned Wednesday night, there may have been no room at the inn, but God provided a place for his son. There was a manger, there was a stable, there was a place. And when you give place to God, when you put Christ in your Christmas, he's going to show up with the supernatural. Remember, Mary said to the angel, "Be it unto me according to your word," right? Here she goes. She heard about her cousin Elizabeth, and so she goes out to greet her cousin Elizabeth. You remember the story. She greets her cousin, and as the greeting comes on Elizabeth's ears right then, the baby must have heard it too, because John the Baptist leaps, does a Holy Ghost jig right on the inside of her, right? And he's about 6 months old in the womb, and there he is, and he leaps inside of her, and all of a sudden Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit and starts to prophesy. She starts to speak forth the word of God. And listen to what she says in Luke chapter 1, verse 45. If you're there still in Luke chapter 1, look at verse number 45. Look at what she says. "Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." See, your expectation as you hear the word of God and you receive it on the inside of you, now you have a blessing coming because the supernatural is going to take place. You say, "But wait a second, I'm just me. I'm just little old me. Just you know, I live in the Inland Empire. Nothing good comes out of the Inland Empire. I mean, we're not from L.A. We're not from San Diego. We're not Palm Springs. We're not any of those classy places, you know, and I'm not that educated. I'm not that smart. In fact, I'm not really that nice either. I could do a little bit better in my life, you know, but I don't got that much money, Pastor, and you know, I'm not cute enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not..." Listen, God's not concerned with any of that. If he can use a little girl named Mary, probably a teenager, most people that are scholars studying the story believe that she might have been around the age of 15 years old at this time. If he can use a teenager, now we have an opinion of teenagers in our present day society, don't we? They lost their mind. Where did my perfect little child go, right? They think that they know it all. They're just out there. They're brain dead. They're just playing on the phone and the electronics and all that kind of stuff. But see, if God can use a teenager from Nazareth, a throwaway city, much like the Inland Empire has been described in these days, the armpit of, you know, of Palestine at the time. If God can take that and birth his son, God in the flesh, through this teenage girl from Nazareth, what can God do from a people who will believe him in the Inland Empire that's been called the armpit of Southern California? But I'm here to tell you, this is a setup for God to do the miraculous this Christmas season. God wants to show up on the scene as you put Christ back in Christmas. Third thing for today. First of all, how can we put Christ in Christmas? Number one, declare his name. Number two, expect the supernatural. D and E. Last one for today, letter F, is this. Number three, freely give. Freely give. One of my favorite scriptures in Matthew, the 10th chapter, verse number 8. Jesus says these words. He says, "Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." In other words, this blessing that God wants to get to you, this supernatural, miraculous power, as you start to declare his name and see the miracles happen, that's not just for you. That's for you and everyone around you. See, when God pours out his spirit, God is a sloppy pourer. God pours out abundantly. God pours out overflowing. And therefore, if the cup runneth over, then the table's going to get blessed. See, you have influence. You have opportunities each and every day in your life. Your neighbors, your friends, your relatives, they are coming to your house. Come on, somebody. And you might have said, "Oh me," but now it's time to say, "Oh my God," because God is going to show up as you start to declare. See, they're going to sit down at your dinner table, and what are they going to do? "Oh my goodness, can I just sit here? Because my back, you know, I got a bad back here, and you don't understand what's going on with me." And they're going, "I'm just so depressed, and I'm just so down to scared." You're going to be at the work party, right? Somebody's going to be bawling and squalling. "I don't have enough. I don't know what to do. I don't know how I'm going to make it." And you start to declare the name of Jesus. You start to tell them the good news of the gospel. That, listen, you don't have to be depressed. You don't have to be sick. You don't have to be discouraged. You don't have to be broke down, busted, and disgusted. Listen, let me break you off some of this, my friend, because God has so blessed me that now I'm going to bless you, and that will just open the door to supernatural things, because freely you have received, freely give. I haven't met an atheist, an agnostic, or an ignorant person yet who doesn't know nothing about God that has denied prayer yet. Hello? See, your family may be coming in, and they may say, don't preach to me, but when it comes time to pray for me, come on, I need some prayer. It can't hurt, right? And you say, that's hypocrisy. Well, yeah, it is, but what do you expect? Sinners are going to sin, right? They don't understand what they're doing, so they may not want to hear the preaching, but they'll receive the prayer. So start to offer it. Start to bless. Start to build. You say, but Pastor, it's tight right now. If I give, I won't have. No, the Word of God says, given it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men pour into your bosom. So, see, as you are led by the Spirit of God and you start putting Christ in Christmas, start declaring His name, start to expect supernatural things to take place, then when God puts you on assignment, says, go bless that person, go pray for that person, go tell someone about Jesus. Now, all of a sudden, as you start to walk in obedience, God will meet you on your way to obedience with grace and resource and power and strength and miracles and signs and wonders. And now, all of a sudden, you've received, you can give it out. Freely you've received. Freely give. Mother Teresa said this. She said, it's Christmas every time you let God love others through you. Yes, it is Christmas every time you smile at your brother and offer him your hand. This is a season of giving, church. This is a time. The door is wide open. The world is watching. They want to know. They're looking. They're seeing. They're wondering about the hope. It's a dark time, and you are the light of the world. Today, what did we learn? We learned our ABCs about this Christ child, right? He was announced by angels, born of a virgin. Christ will save. How we can put Christ in Christmas? Well, we're building upon that. Letter D is declare His name. E is expect the supernatural. And F is freely give. Did you guys get something from the Word today? Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.